All right, so bitterness. That's our topic today. One of those topics you can't even say the word without squinting your eyes and being like, bitterness. It's just one of those words. It's not a feel-good word, right? It's not something we're like all joyful about. When we say bitterness, we're like, bitterness. That's my toughest voice. Only my kids hear that sometimes, right? Bitterness, it's crazy. It starts in the mind. It gets rooted in the heart, and then it comes out in our actions, and it controls our life. You know, back in May here at the Northside, we did this whole series about the mind, and we taught you how crazy powerful the mind is. The mind is something that we think is harmless, but once our minds start believing something, it takes control of our hearts, and it takes control of all of our actions, and all of a sudden we're doing something that we first thought up in our minds, and it might not even be truthful. That's how powerful it is. I mean, we act on what we believe. So imagine if Baby Lake, all right? Imagine Baby, sorry, Baby Lake, I use you for everything, but, well, we pay her. Every time we put her picture up, we pay her $5. So she's ready for college. Imagine you believe Baby Lake got out of Warren's arms, tiptoed out the back door, and was heading for Western Avenue. I see your faces. You believe Baby Lake is headed for Western Avenue and is going to be harmed or hit by a car. If you believe that, you wouldn't care who you knocked over. You knock over Gloria on the way, you know. Wouldn't care if your skirt got tucked on a chair and all of a sudden you were naked. You would run out that door to stop Baby Lake from getting hit by a car because you believed if Baby Lake goes in Western Avenue, she's going to get hit by a car. We act on what we believe. The more passionate our beliefs are, the more quick our actions are going to be. So bitterness, think about it. If it starts in our minds and we really, really feel it and it grows into our hearts, it's going to come out in our actions. And it's not going to be so great. You know, bitterness comes in a lot of different forms. There's some bitterness that's towards people who are different. Our nation is like that. The world is like that. It stinks, but it's out there. You can be bitter towards a certain race. You can be bitter towards a certain sex. You can be bitter towards a certain age. You can be bitter towards anything or any group of people that are different from you. And we see this in hate crimes. We see this in closed group societies. We see this even mildly and subtly in political groups. We see this in powers against different countries. We see this in even churches can be bitter towards each other because they don't believe the same things. Bitterness can also happen towards someone because of a specific event or circumstances. This is the most famous of all bitterness. This is where we see it hugely. Somebody did you wrong. And if I was to ask you right now, think in your heart who makes you bitter. A name might pop into your head. Something that happened. It could have been yesterday. It could have been years ago. But you think their name in your head and all of a sudden, you know, your blood pressure gets up a little bit. Or you feel a little sweaty. Or you have a bad taste in your mouth. And that name comes to mind. You're like, ugh, something doesn't feel right. Because there's bitterness towards somebody because of something they did. Sometimes bitterness becomes a habit, and it just becomes to any random stranger that messes up your day, all right? That slow bank teller, that person who can't drive very well, the rude police officer, an uncaring customer care person that's supposed to be caring for you on the phone, and they're doing anything but caring, and you're so used to bitterness, and all of a sudden, they have front row of your bitterness. You feel such bitterness against them because they've messed up your day and whatever your plans was. You know, bitterness is a huge issue. I'm kind of making a joke about it right now, but it's a huge issue. And it is something we have to get up from. Bitterness is different from anger. We talked about anger. Because sometimes there's righteous anger. Sometimes you get mad about something because something isn't right and you are right to get angry about it. And that's not a sin to have righteous anger. But here's the thing, there is no righteous bitterness. There's no righteous bitterness. Bitterness is an emotion that is always a sin. And that's hard sometimes to digest, right? Because it's always a sin. There's never a case where bitterness is okay. But if we want to live this abundant life that God's asked us to live or that God has prepared for us and we want a right relationship with God, we have to learn to get up from our bitterness.
You know, disciples, even Jesus' buddies, they dealt with bitterness, all right? They were bitter towards a group of people that were different from them, a different race from them, a different relationship from them. They were bitter against the Samaritans. They didn't like the Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't like them. They weren't frenemies. They were full-blown enemies, all right? There wasn't even a mild like there. So let's look to the scripture at Luke 9. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to the Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on the way to Jerusalem. All right, so the guys needed to get to Jerusalem. The direct way was to travel through Samaria, and they did. Most people would go around, take the long way to avoid the situation. The Jews liked to do that. The Samaritans liked that. They didn't really like the Jews cutting through their land because there was such bitterness. Maybe it started with a race difference, maybe a religious difference. Maybe it just transpired through stories. Oh, you know what that Jew did to me. Oh, you know what that Samaritan did to me. And it just escalated and escalated. And now there's such a bitterness there that they're feeling dissed or unwelcomed when they go through their town. I don't know what the unwelcome was. I don't know what they were feeling. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened or what it looked like. Maybe as they denied them lodging. Maybe they said, hey, you can't shop at the market here. Sorry, you're going to have to figure out a different way to get food. Maybe they yelled at them. Maybe they spit on them. Maybe they tripped them when they're walking through the streets. I don't know. But you and I know the feeling when you aren't welcomed, right? It's kind of obvious, even if it's subtle. They did not feel welcome. But here is where the action of a bitter heart comes out. Because look what James and John, the disciples, say. This is true story because it's in the Bible. When James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? Holy bitterness, Batman. Should we call down fire, literally, from heaven to burn them up? There's a translation in the Bible that says, should we do as Elijah did? When Elijah was battling the false prophets, fire came down and destroyed them all. He's saying, should we pull an Elijah? Should we do it? They're not welcoming us. Let's just shoot fire down from the skies and destroy them. Do you see how bitter that heart is? To be so quick to, we're not feeling welcome. To fire! Burn! Die! That's intense! And it sounds so extreme, right? But that's how bitterness works. Bitterness goes into our heart and it overcomes us. And it confuses us. And in my mind, we believe we're doing the noble and right thing. I have no doubt that James and John were like, be the noble and right thing to do. You know, here's the Messiah, and we're going through their town, their city, and, you know, they're rejecting, and they're rejecting the Messiah. They're rejecting Jesus' mission. Isn't it fair that we just consume them with fire, Lord? I really think James and John thought this was the most logical thing to do, to pull an Elijah. And I think if they had more time to think, they might be like, hey, should we pull a Jonah? You know, should we bring down whales to swallow them all up? You know, should we pull a Daniel? How about we have a lion's den and we just throw them in and they just mangle them? They believe they were justified in their action. And you and I do this too. When we get bitterness rooted in our heart and we think something bad happens to the person we're bitter against, we feel kind of good about it. We feel good as if we were raining down fire from heaven to consume them because they've caused us to be bitter. All right, so James and John, they wanted to rain down fire, but luckily our Lord, who is good and pure and right in every way, says, but Jesus turned and rebuked them. I so want to know how Jesus turned, right? So I picture this, we like, did he kind of do this? Turn his head and look at him? Or do you do one of those snap necks, you know? Like, what are you talking about? But Jesus, I think there's something here. Jesus turned to look at them. Sometimes when I yell at my kids, sometimes I don't even look at them. I just yell from the computer room, stop bothering each other. But when I really want to talk to them, when I really get into their face, they know something serious is happening. Jesus made sure he turned toward them. And then it says he rebuked them. He corrected them. He's teaching them that that type of attitude is not good. You know, some manuscripts, like the King James Version, add this part, a second part to verse 55 and to 56. And he said, "You don't realize what your hearts are like, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy people's lives, but to save them." Jesus is saying, you got to look at your hearts, James and John. What's going on in there? If your menial thought is rained down fire, something is not going right inside those hearts of yours. I mean, he had just preached this on the Sermon of the Mount months prior in Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And Jesus is like, what's coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart right now. There's something stirring in there that's not right, because our mission, in case you didn't catch it in the training, in the disciple training, our mission is to save lives, not to destroy them by fire, all right? We are out about the business of saving lives. We are about the business of our purpose of loving people, not destroying them. Verse 56 continues part of the story. So they went on to another village. Jesus moved on. Jesus was unwelcomed. Jesus didn't stop and be like, hey, great idea. Let's shoot some fire down and get out of here. You know, he didn't do that, right? He didn't even give them the deadly eye as he left town. Like, oh, I'll show you. You know, he didn't knock down a stone fence on the way out of Samaria. He didn't shout, you aren't welcome in our land either, to try to get the last word in, as we often do. You know, he didn't flip them off at the border and run. You know, he didn't do anything like that. The Bible tells us, so they went on to another village. They moved on. You know, our Get Up series, this whole thing that we're doing, that we kind of make fun of, it's a feel-good series, because they're hard topics to deal with. It's an action series. And Bucky and I can talk to you from God's Word, and we can teach you all that the Bible says, but the truth is, you got to grab hold of that truth. You have to say, with the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in me, God living inside me, not myself, you have to be able to say, I'm going to get up from this. I'm going to take this truth that God's Word says, I'm going to look from examples in the Bible where Jesus said it's not good, and you're going to take that truth and you're going to apply it through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to get up and move on. Because all the topics that we're talking about, the debt and fear and anger and all those things, God doesn't want those things in your life. God wants a preferable, wonderful life for you. That's why you got to get up from them. So what does he say about bitterness? Ephesians 4:31-32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You know, God's word about bitterness doesn't say, you know, work on it, deal with it later, adjust it, fake it till you make it, you know, hold on to a grudge on something else. It actually says, get rid of it. Get rid of it. And it doesn't say, you know, get rid of the bulk of it. Get rid of the stuff that's kind of affecting your day-to-day life. He says, get rid of all of it. God says, if you want to follow me, if you want this life that I have given to you and I have planned for you and I have died for it for you, then you got to live like Christ lived. I mean, I am so thankful that Christ does not hold grudges. I mean, what about those 350 days we don't talk about him or talk to him? All those times we ignore him every day of our life, but maybe we catch him at Christmas and Easter, you know? He doesn't hold grudges. He's not a God up there strewing up bitterness, being like, oh, you didn't follow me again. See? Hope fire rains down on you. He doesn't do that. He's not a bitter God. He's a loving God. And so he says, I want you to be like that. The opposite of bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words. I want it to be this. Forgiving one another. Tender hearting one another. I don't know if that means that. Sounds like Tanya Harding, but tender hearting one another. Yeah. Opposite of Tanya Harding one another. Just as Christ has forgiven you. You know, and God warns us about bitterness too, because check this out. Oh, and I'm going to underline that just in case, all right? And then I'm going to underline it, and then I'm going to go on to the next one. Oh, but that's wrong, so here we go. Oh, I'm going backwards. I'm sorry. Here we go. Oh, okay. Hebrews 12:15 says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. I love that the Bible calls bitterness poison, right? Because bitterness poisons you, not the person you're bitter against, right? We have this idea that if we're bitter towards somebody, it affects them. You know, like they're dying over our bitterness towards them. But Nelson Mandela, I love this quote, says, resentment is like drinking poison then hoping it will kill your enemies. We get so obsessed and bitter towards someone, we think it's affecting them, but it's not. It's just totally poisoning us, right? It doesn't touch the person that we're bitter towards. The other person continues their life. Maybe they're happy and content. They probably never even think about us, right? Who's there holding the bitterness grudge. But they continue, and that bitterness continues to control our lives and not affect them at all. I love this quote I heard. I don't even know who said it, so I'm going to say Carrie Mercer said this. Holding a grudge is like having someone live rent-free in your head. Right? I'm going to charge them if they're in my head all that time. Being bitter towards someone's like someone living in your head rent-free. They shouldn't be there. It's only bothering us. So look what this bitterness of poison can do to us. First thing it does is poisons our relationship with Jesus. It does. Because bitterness means we're living in the flesh, not in the spirit. So it poisons our relationship with Jesus. Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. That's the opposite of what God wants. But those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. We have a choice every day, many times a day. Maybe you've had a choice 10 times during this sermon right now, to take a step in the flesh or to take a step in the Spirit. To live for God or to not live for God. Those are really our only two options. They seem so limited, but there's a lot to do over here and there's a lot to do over here. If you have unresolved bitterness in your life, you're not right with God because you're not walking in the Spirit. That is very hard to hear, okay? It's hard for me to digest at times also, but it's true. It's impossible to be wrong with man and right with God at the same time. And you can't say with one breath, Lord, I love you so much, and then scream out the window, heaven, you will pay for what you've done. You know, we can't do that. We can't say, I love you, Lord, and then shooting threats at Helen as we drive by her house. We can't do that. We can't live in both worlds. It's one or the other. I don't know who Helen is, by the way, all right? And Helen, if you're listening online, it's not you. I love you, all right? We can't do that. We can't say we love God and hate another race. We can't say we love God and hate someone because they choose a different lifestyle. We can't say we love God and secretly be making a pact of our revenge, of how we're going to get revenge on the person that hurt us. We can't do that. Bitterness poisons our relationship with Jesus. Second thing it poisons you physically. Bitterness is a constantly running machine. I mean, it's not just a one moment day of anger or a couple weekends full of anger. It's a lifestyle. You know, it enters your subconscious mind and it runs 24 hours. You can be bitter when you're working out, when you're watching TV, when you're trying to sleep. And medical studies, there actually are medical studies on this, show that bitterness affects your physical health. It's linked to glandular problems, high blood pressure, cardiac disorders, ulcers, and even insanity. It poisons you physically. I don't have any of those reports, but I found on the internet, so I'm sure it's right. All right, so poisons you physically. Next one, it poisons your relationships. If you become into a trend of bitterness, you're going to see it coming over to a lot of your relationships. And all of a sudden, you're going to get paranoid, or you're going to be quick to become bitter because it comes easy and easier because it's already rooted in your heart, and your mind is already so used to feeling that type of bitterness. So all of a sudden, you're going to see a lot more negativism in your relationships. You're going to see a lot more judgmentalism in your relationships. You're going to maybe become a little critical, paranoid. It streams over, and it poisons your other relationships. Next thing bitterness does. It can poison the church. You know, we're on a great roll here at Northside, but if we want to stop seeing great things happening at Northside, just start being bitter towards someone here. You know, be bitter towards me, or be bitter towards the person next to you, or be bitter towards that person because they didn't ask you to serve someplace. Once bitterness starts happening in our church and we don't deal with it, it's going to affect our whole body, because the Bible says we work together as one. So if you're feeling bitterness towards Yvonne because she doesn't make good coffee, you know, talk to her about it, right? Don't let it stir. You have to deal with it. And maybe you tried to resolve it, even brought someone else to you to resolve it. Then it becomes your duty to say, I got to get rid of this bitterness with God's help. You may never hear the answer from another person to make it right, but you can have control over the bitterness that you have in your heart. You know, nobody wants to be bitter. Nobody wants, it's not the new fad. It's not fun. It doesn't feel good. It's controlling. It's awful, but it sneaks up on us. You know, when you have little kids saying, what do you want to be when you grow up? Nobody says, I want to be bitter. You know, it's just not what they're saying. It's not what the kids are saying these days, right? Nobody wants it. We don't want it to have anything to do with us because it consumes us and then it hurts whatever God has planned for our lives. That is why we have to get up from it. We have to get up from it. If I came to you right now with some test tube vials of some soil samples I took from underneath your homes, and I showed you, you are living underneath this toxic waste dump, and it's affecting your health, it's affecting your family, you're in a bad situation. What are you going to do? You're going to move, right? Because you see it is affecting you and your family in a negative way. Well, that's what I'm telling you about bitterness today. If you find yourself in a pattern of bitterness and you know, I've tried to get rid of this bitterness, I have this bitterness inside me, you got to get up and move from it, or it's going to destroy your life. It will destroy your life. So if you are ready to get up from it today, I always like to give you some little things that you can take home with, right? And if you're saying, I don't want this poison in my relationship with God, I don't want this poison in my relationship with my church or my friends or my family or my health, I want it gone. I'm ready to get up from it. Here we go. You were wondering when I was going to say this word. Forgive. All right? Do not let this word shut you down. Do not be shut down by the word forgive. Because I know you have a million stories where you can say that person does not deserve forgiveness. You have no idea what that person has done to me. A, B, C, D. I don't. I can only tell you what God's word says about forgiveness, right? But sometimes when we throw this word up there, all of a sudden we're like, no way. Anybody but that person, anybody but that side of the family, anybody but that neighbor, we're very quick to say, I can't do that. But here are the misconceptions about forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean that everything is okay. Forgiveness does not mean that it's still not going to hurt somewhat. Forgiveness does not mean that everything is healthy and fine. Forgiveness does not mean it's forgotten. Forgiveness is ceasing to feel resentment against them, ceasing to carry that hatred and that bitterness that you have that only hurts you. That's why we have that, Ephesians 4:1. Remember, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. I know that's a tough one. And I know that the power to forgive only comes from God. I know that. And I do believe if you have asked God and you have told him that you want to forgive somebody, but you're having a really tough time, and you pray and you ask him for his strength and help to forgive that person, you will forgive that person. It feels impossible. It seems like it's a million miles away. I haven't had your life. I haven't been hurt by the same people that you've been hurt by, but I have been hurt by the closest people to me and my family growing up. And I can tell you that I stand here today, completely have forgiven them. But it was only through God. It had nothing to do with Carrie at all. It had everything to do with God's power. If you want that, he will give that to you, no matter how big the hurt is. I promise you that, because God's word doesn't lie. I promise you that. Step two, don't be defined by your circumstances. Don't be defined by them. Nelson Mandela was imprisoned 27 years by the South African apartheid government for standing up against a government that was committing awful human rights abuses against black South Africans. Awful. He was released from prison in 1990 and went on to lead the way for the abolition of the apartheid in 1994. That same year, he was elected as South Africa's first president. But his most astounding accomplishment after suffering all those years of abuse in prison was to create the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which focused, listen what it focused on healing the country's wounds from human rights abuses using truth-telling and forgiveness. Nelson Mandela, he kind of had a story that we'd be like, yeah, he's bitter. Go ahead, you know. You've got a reason to be bitter there, buddy. But this is what he said when he walked outside the prison. As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. He chose to get up from his bitterness. He knew if he was holding on to it, the South African government wasn't going to be hurt by it. It was him who was going to remain in prison by his bitterness. He had to choose to say he was leaving it behind. Now, we believe our bitterness is a direct result of what someone has done against us. And Satan wants you to believe that bitterness is unavoidable, that you almost can wear it like a badge. I'm bitter because this happened to me. Almost to be proud about it. And the enemy wants you to believe that you can't help it. That there's nothing you can do about it. It's just as a result of what happened to you. You're just bitter. But God says, we are responsible. Not for the failures of others, but for our own responses. We're responsible for that. You and I can have parallel lives. The same two things happen. Maybe the same things happen to you and I. The exact same. And one of us can choose to get up from bitterness, and the other one can turn to live in bitterness for the rest of our lives. Same situation, same circumstances. Our bitterness is not what defines us, but our response to it is. What is going to be response to our consequences? That's what defines us. And we have a choice about that. And the last step is we need to seek grace. You know, God is so full of it. He is so full of this stuff. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us and who are united with Christ Jesus. He has so much grace. He does. But when we hold on to bitterness, we're taking that section of our heart that should be filled with God's grace, and we're reserving it for our bitterness. And it's very hard to allow God's grace to fill us. It's very hard to say God's grace is sufficient for me. God's love is all I need to feel that wholeness when we got this big space of bitterness just growing and festering inside us. And God says, if you're willing, if you will take that chance and you will let go of that bitterness, I have more than enough to fill you up. I got more than enough to make it all right. I got more than enough, not just to have you get by this life, but to have the abundant life. I got lots of it. I have so much. It's not even just sufficient. I have grace enough that's sufficient for you, but I got an abounding amount of grace for you. And I will take care of you. You know, we can take our bitterness to God. We can take it. We can surrender it to him. We can drop it at his feet. We can say, you got to handle this, and you got to give me control over this, and you got to help me forgive over this, and you have to help me move on from it, and you have to help me get it out of my heart and fill your grace in it. And he will. That's the type of God he is. And nothing is too big, and nothing is too small, and there's not nothing he's tired of hearing, because you can go to this every day because he wants you out of it. He won't be tired of the same record being played over and over again. He's like, you want it out? I'm going to work on it with you. And you're going to be free from this. And I'm going to give you the power to get up from the poison of bitterness. Let's pray. Lord, I know that everyone has a different story than I have. And there's probably a name that's floating around in people's minds right now of how they've been hurt, how they've been a victim,
how they've just been downright just angry about, maybe it's a silly thing or maybe it's a huge thing. But God, you don't want that bitterness in our heart. You told us to get rid of all of it. So God, we throw it at your feet. Search our hearts right now. If there's something we have not surrendered to you or let go of you or need to forgive somebody for, God, please give us the power through your Holy Spirit to do it. And thanks for your grace, God. You don't say get rid of something and just let us be empty there. You fill that space. And we thank you for your grace, the grace that we don't even deserve, the grace that allowed you to die on the cross for us, the grace that forgives us even if we ignore you more days a week than we talk with you. Your grace is so huge and it's so sufficient. So God, if there's anyone in this room right now who just says, Lord, I need it. I need it for forgiveness. I need it, Lord, to get rid of this bitterness. Father, just have them feel it right now and feel your presence. You're a God who wants us to live purely and holy. We thank you, God, that you supply all that we need for this. It's in your name we pray. Amen.